with you tonight. Even though we're small numbers, that's okay. It's always great to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and speak of Him. We're going to look at a few verses here. We're going to start in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 16. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 16, and we'll start in at verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, others Jeremias or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." We have in these verses a very clear gospel. We have in these verses, first of all, a question about who the Son of God is. And basically what the gospel is a message that proclaims to you that you can know your sins forgiven. But not only that, the message is about knowing who Jesus Christ is. We want you to know who he is. Because in knowing who he is, you can have an understanding of why he came, what his work was when he came into this world. And we all know, and you've heard it preached before, nobody's a stranger to the gospel here. And you know that Jesus Christ came into the world so that he could go to the cross of Calvary and pay the price for sin, the price of which you and I could never pay. We can't pay that price. We have an insufficient set of resources, amount of resources to our own selves, we can't do it. We just cannot get God's salvation by the things we do. And besides, the Bible is very clear when it states that our sins are in the way, and because our sins are in the way and we have sinned, we can't pay for our own sins, because the Lord Jesus says, first of all, it's not of yourselves. It's not who you are. It's not what kind of a person you are. And he says also, it's not your works. And a lot of religions today will tell you and try to push upon you the thought that you do the best you can, and eventually you'll get God's salvation. Or one day you'll know that you've done so many good deeds and they've outweighed your bad deeds, and God will have no choice but to accept you into heaven. But that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel of the Bible. We cannot work our way into heaven. We cannot be born into such and such a family and think that that's going to do us any good. It's impossible, because God is a holy God, and we learn that in the scriptures. We learn that God is pure and without sin. And we learn also that God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. And I thank God for the moment I learned that. When I came to understand that I was a sinner before God, and yes, I knew that my sins deserved to be punished, and that for all eternity, I came to that acknowledgement at a certain point. I can't tell you exactly when it was when I heard the gospel. I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but when I heard the gospel, there came a point when I realized that I deserved to die for my sins and be separated from God forever. You see, God doesn't want that. And so we want to present to you who Christ is, what he has done. And does that benefit you here tonight in the gospel? First of all, Peter was asked, and the disciples were asked, said, well, the Lord Jesus had them by themselves, and he said, okay, who do people say that I am? What are they claiming about me? What are they saying? And of course, you had those answers. They had one said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. John the Baptist was recently beheaded. I don't know how much longer ago, maybe a year or so before this time. But he said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. And others said, well, some say that you're Elijah, the prophet, a great prophet, a prophet of fire. And some say, well, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Some people say you're Jeremiah. Or others just say you're one of the prophets. So they all have their ideas. And where do these ideas come from? I'll ask you this question. Where have your ideas come from when it comes to the person of Christ? I think about before I was saved, I didn't know much about the gospel, but I knew a little bit about religion and a couple other things. A few things were in my mind about how I was going to ever get to the great beyond and what was going to happen with me, because I really did believe there was something more to life than just what met the eye. And some people believe other things. Some people believe in nothing. And some people believe that there's other ways to get to heaven. And there's other, that certain religions will bring you to heaven. And others will believe that there's certain people that you follow, that you can follow their teaching, and that'll bring you to heaven. And people have many ideas. And what I'm going to call that tonight is clutter. It is clutter. Some of us are a little older and some are younger, but the younger ones may not appreciate this too much because they may not have accumulated a lot of things. But sometimes when I go into my shed or into my basement apartment or I look around the house and I look in this closet and I look in that closet and I go, wow, where did I get all this stuff? Look at all this stuff. When did I buy that? Where did I come by that? Oh, yeah, I remembered. I saw that somewhere, and I thought I could use it. And you know what? There's some stuff that's still in a package. I haven't taken it out of the package yet. Some tools that I thought I could use at some point or another. I thought, oh, that tool would be really useful. I might have seen a commercial on it or something. I said, that'll be good. But I've accumulated things. And it's not any different than our minds. We accumulate stuff. We accumulate knowledge. And the older you get, the more cluttered this becomes. That's why it's so much easier for a child, because the Lord Jesus said himself, like a child come to the Lord Jesus, childlike faith. That's what you need, a faith that isn't cluttered with all kinds of other nonsense. And we get our minds cluttered with so much that it's hard for us to grasp what the Savior is saying. Who do you think the Savior is? Is he just a great teacher, like so many claims? Even today, people say, oh, he was just a wonderful teacher. Yeah, some of the things he taught was good. And then they say, some of the things? Yeah, well, some of the things weren't, altogether in my view of thinking. And why is that? Because, well, I've been taught this, or I've come to this knowledge, and I think this. So you're saying that some of his teaching is good, but not all of it? Well, okay, which page do we tear out of our Bibles when you get to that page and you say, oh, that's no good. I don't believe that. Or, yeah, that part about Jonah and the whale, well, take that out. Don't believe that. That never happened. That's just a myth or a legend or something. Something I've been really appreciating in the last couple of weeks is just how much I'm amazed at this Bible that I'm holding, the Word of God. And I believe it from cover to cover. I believe everything that's in these pages. There's not one thing that I do not believe. I'll tell you one thing. I don't understand it all, but But I believe it. It's God's word. And it's God's word, and you can't decide what you're going to remove and what you're going to keep. Because pretty soon you're not going to have any pages left. Because there's going to be something on that page that just doesn't align with the clutter that's up here. All the stuff that you've accumulated and learned in your life. And that's what people do. They take the word of God and they judge it according to their own thoughts. Now, are you God? Can you really give yourself the qualifications and the right to be able to judge God's word and judge that what God says isn't true based on what I know? I'll tell you right now, I'm standing before you as a very fallible human being. I'm not all knowledge. I'm not all sufficient in myself to know everything. Because there's a lot of things I do not know. And I'd be very careful knowing that I have a lot of clutter in my mind. What I would disbelieve, especially when it comes to the Word of God. So Jesus Christ asked this question very clearly and very plainly. What's cluttering your mind? Who is the Son of God? And of course, their first answer was, well, some say this person, and some say that person, and some say, well, just maybe one of the others. But you get that, right? You get what I was saying. Some say. See, you're basing your knowledge on who the Son of God is, basing it upon what others have told you. That's why we always go to the Word of God. That's why we're careful to bring you to the Christ of God through the pages of Scripture. This is the Word of God. And what we tell you about the person of the Son of God is found in this book. And if there are any questions, you can always come to any one of us and ask us, and we'll take you to that page. And if we don't know right away, and we won't be fast to give you an answer if we think we know, we'll get you an answer because we know it's in this book. And God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into the world to present himself very clearly to the people around him. And there's many things he did that was just indisputable. You could not argue with the fact of his claims that he is the Son of God. And he came into this world to take our place there upon Calvary's cross so that you and I could be saved from the penalty that we deserved. And Jesus Christ himself paid that price. And he's the only one that could. Because he's God, and he was God manifest in the flesh, and he came here for that specific purpose, to die for your sins and mine. But until we get rid of the clutter, and a lot of people have a hard time getting rid of clutter, and I looked before the meeting, I thought, what is clutter anyways? Well, in our minds, that is, all the clutter that we possess, whether it's material objects or thoughts or whatever, it really is something that represents our past memories. You know, something you hold on to dear. That's personal to me because it has sentimental value and it's representing some past memory, and it's very dear to me. So you hold on to that object, whatever it is. Maybe it's a thought. Maybe it's an object. Our past memories, or maybe it's some of our past habits, or maybe our present habits, whatever habits we might have had, or whatever things we might have done. And of course, we look at that and we think, you know, clutter, it can represent that. And then it could even be something that we're holding on to because it represented a goal that we had for the future. Something we wanted to look forward to, something we were looking forward to, something we were looking to get to and succeed at. And so we sometimes have clutter in that way. And that's why clutter, it says in the when I read up on it, that's why clutter is so hard for people to emotionally let go of. So sometimes what you have in your mind, the thoughts you have concerning how to get to heaven, how you, what your present state is before a holy God, it's sometimes based on past things that you're holding on to, past knowledge that you have that's just plain and simple. If it's in opposition with the Word of God, it's just clutter. And somebody once said these words, we need to clear the clutter. And it's so true. You ever watch those shows about hoarders? Now, you might think that I am one after I told you at the start of all the things I looked at and everything else. You'd probably come to my house and see all these rooms full of stuff. It's not like that. But you know what I mean. Those shows on hoarders, and I'm always amazed at that. But people actually accumulate, so they hardly have anywhere to live. They can hardly squeeze into a room because they have so much clutter. When it comes to God's salvation, and if you're not saved tonight, is that your problem? You have no room because there's so much clutter in your mind that you have no room for the real person of Christ and what he has done for the likes of us. Jesus Christ, as I said before, he said, who do men say that I am? Well, some say this, some say that. When Jesus Christ came to this, Peter gave him an answer. And when I say this question to you, because this question can be brought down to this very moment in time, to your very heart, who do you say that I am? And Peter said with absolute assurance, with no clutter, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. He knew who he was. And this is the part of the gospel that only comes by Jesus Christ and God, who knows your heart. He knows when a person wants his salvation more than anything else. He's the one that reveals it, because Jesus Christ said to Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father, he's revealed it to you. And when a person comes to the reality in that time in their life, when I did, and our brother did in his life, and anyone here that is saved by God's grace came to that point in their lives, when I came to that point in my life, when I realized I didn't know how to get this. I knew who Jesus Christ was. I knew what he did at the Calvary, but I still was not saved. My sins were not forgiven. And it wasn't until the Father revealed it to me, the Spirit of God, who is now alive in me, he gave me in that moment, that time when I was totally lost and I couldn't get salvation on my own. In that moment, I got a clear word from God, according to his word, and it was just as clear and simple as this. Jesus died for me, but it came from him. He knew when I was at an end of myself. And he knows when you want his salvation more than anything else. And if you're not saved tonight, our prayer is, and it's God's earnest desire, that you come to know his Son as your Savior. Because he's the only one that's ever done anything about the problem of your sin and mine. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. We can never begin to explain to you the agonies and the pain and the horror that Christ faced there upon the cross of Calvary in those dark hours. We can't enter into those dark hours. But we know what the Bible says about those dark hours. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, what we deserved, and we could only get peace by the chastisement that he took there upon the cross. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and he bore our iniquities in full. And he paid the price that you and I could never pay. Jesus Christ did this because he loved you. He loved me. And he made it possible for us to know this and know of full assurance by the word of God that we're going to be in heaven one day. So, I may not have presented it as clearly as I wanted to, but I hope it's gotten rid of some of your clutter, some of the thinking that you've maybe had perhaps about Jesus Christ and about what God's word teaches. And I hope, and I really sincerely hope, that you come to know our Savior. And I hope that you've understood this, that this is the only means whereby we have. This is the presentation of Jesus Christ to the world that needs him. And our God has given us this book. It has caused that men were moved by the Holy Spirit of God to write this book for us, so that we might know his mind, especially when it concerns our sin and our great need. Because God has made the plan in eternity past that you and I would never have to go to that awful place we've been hearing about. We hear about a place called hell and the lake of fire where people will be if they die in their sins. And you don't have to go there. I don't have to go there because I'm with Christ. I'm in Christ. I've came by way of the door. I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You already heard the words quoted, that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But we've also heard the words, getting back to the clutter, lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Turn to the Bible, turn to the book, and listen to what God has to say. Because he's given us a clear plan of his salvation. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful for the gospel and its power and its clarity and its greatness. Indeed, Father, we have a wonderful Savior. A Savior we can present. Sometimes, Father, we lack at the ability to be able to present him. But, Father, we know that we have the earnest desire in our hearts that sinners come to know thy Son as Savior. And so we pray tonight for those in the meeting, if they're not saved, that they might trust the Savior. And, Lord, we pray for your help as we part now in our Savior's name. Amen.